And number 349 to begin with. 349 in the big books, obviously.
Thank you.
246 now, so I haven't sung that for a little bit. It's redeemed, 246. It's by Fanny Crosby. She's a writer of many, many hymns from many, many years ago, and I'm sure they all get a whirl out almost every church day in the world, I'm sure, somewhere. Redeemed, and if you're fit, we'll stand as we sing.
God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, Let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning was the first day. And God said, Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. The evening and the morning were the second day. God said, Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathered together of the waters called he seas. God saw that it was good. God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. The earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed, and after his kind, the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself. After his kind, and God saw that it was good. The evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, let there be light in the firmament of the heaven, divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. It was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and divide the light from the darkness. God saw it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creatures that have life, fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let the fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, beast of the earth after his kind, and it was so. And God made the beast of the earth and his kind, the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. God created man in his own image, in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. To every beast of the earth, to every fowl of the air, to everything that creepeth upon the earth wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good, and the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Amen.
That forms the crux of the whole Bible, whether you believe it or not, and whether you get saved because you're God's special creation, or whether you're just the latest and greatest of the creatures that evolution has brought your way, and everything that you do is okay, and there's no consequences. You have to get that right, and once you do, you'll not be doing too badly at all. 233. 233, tell me the old story. And just remain seated as we sing 233.
Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his glory.
sing one more and then we'll open our Bibles. Number 55. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. 155. 55. It says 188. Well, that's the number I have to type into the music machine. Read the right numbers, Mark. Read the right numbers. Number 55. We'll stand as we sing when the roll is called up yonder.
The trumpet of the Lord shall sound, the time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair. When the saints of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the road is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the road is called up yonder, when the
and I need to remind
you. They try very hard to remind you.
Don't forget your little prayer sheets, the little yellow prayer lists. Please do. I just have the only out of the ordinary prayer request at the moment, excuse me, is for Will's granny, Mary Ann. Please do pray for her and her health. She has, I think she has a cyst on her kidney. Isn't that the way it works, your granny?
It's an infection in the way.
And it keeps causing her a lot of bothers, niggling her, and has done, I'm sure, for years. But please do pray for her. She's in good form. I was speaking to her yesterday. Speaking to Pat and Steve, and they send their regards as well. Do please keep praying for them. Norman was down visiting yesterday, and Steve is still having angina attacks pretty much every day. So please do pray for him. And for Pat as well. It's tough on her too. Please do remember that. We'll be having church on Wednesday evening. Just business as usual this week. And following week or two, I'm not saying anything on how long it's going to take. We'll be working in here, so we'll be having our service out in our newly refurbed entryway. So we'll probably all be sitting on little brown fabric chairs. And we'll enjoy the smell of fresh emulsion and fresh gloss paint for a week or two whenever we have our services out there. So please do remember that. Other than that, I just pray everybody is doing rightly. Does anybody have any other prayer requests that they'd like to add to our prayer requests? Oh, good. Do pray for Colin and Charlotte. Charlotte is down visiting her mother in Letterkenny for Mother's Day and hopes to be with us next week. Colin hopes to be out this evening. And I think that's about that, isn't it?
Did Frank get to France okay?
Ah, yes.
He did?
Yes, yesterday. They left the college. The coach went to the college to collect them at 8 p.m. Friday night.
Oh.
Yeah, but they didn't leave the college until the half 10.
Right.
They supposed to get on the ferry for the time 2:20, you know, but some people, they don't have vaccination, so delayed, so they had to wait for another 5 hours to get the ferry.
So they're still queer on the vaccination?
Yeah, when they cross the channel, then two of them, I think, from tomorrow, yesterday morning, I think 8 o'clock, then they didn't get their result until 10:30 last night. But the coach stopped every 4 hours. So, yeah.
Yes, that's a long journey for going not very far.
Well, he left London, the day before that, and he went to play tennis, and he got 3 bites from mosquitoes. Very short on the coach.
What a life, eh? Getting bitten by mosquitoes on holiday. I remember many, many years ago when I took my brother and cousins camping. They were very small. I think they were at least 6 years younger than me, and I was only 18 or 19. And I thought I was the bee's knees, and I had a mosquito net for the hills. And I kept, threw this thing on, and I kept getting bitten. I thought, what's the score? And I lifted it back, and the midges were only like a fraction of the size of a mosquito, were landing on the net, crawling through, and then hopping up in my face and biting me. So it's not pleasant.
It was real fast. It goes on where always friend go.
They say they only like sweet things, then. They only like sweet things. That's good. He's there anyway. I'm sure he'll get over it. Once he gets up into the snow and whatnot, he'll forget all about it. Please do remember those things. And be much in prayer. Be much in prayer. Pray for Norman and myself. We've got a wee bit of work ahead of us. Hopefully just a lot of lifting and carrying. And a bit of laser work. And hopefully. But a few screws and a bit of glue, and Lord willing, in a week or so's time, this place will look like outside. So we're looking forward to it. Anyway, well, would you say a wee word of prayer for us, and then we'll start into our sermon.
Dear Father, thank you today, Lord, and thank you for bringing us safely and securely into your house, Lord. We were once and over, but each name we had is represented today, Lord. We give us a blessing, Lord, and the preaching from Mark as it comes to the love of the gospel, Lord. Thank you for today, thank you for the weather, Lord. May we use it. Our benefit for our health, Lord. We know that you've given us every good thing for us, and Lord, and we thank you for your son's sacrifice on the cross, Lord, as well, Lord. Griff Abson, Brad, Griff Leonard, Mr. Upton, the love for many trouble, Lord, and keep him safe and well, Lord. Griff Frank, this is in France, Lord, the love for many trouble, keep him safe and well, Lord, and draw a closer walk with you, Lord, and bless him and keep him as well, Lord. Griff Charlotte, she's both her parents and her mother, and then her kin, Lord, the love for many trouble, Lord. Keep her safe and well, Lord, and bring her safe and securely into your house next to the point of time, Lord, as well, Lord. Give Paul as well. Bless him and keep him safe, Lord, and bring him into your church tonight, Lord, as well, Lord. Give Stephen Pat, Lord, love many trouble, Lord. Keep him well, Lord. Help Steve with his giant attacks, heal him, Lord. Keep him good spirits and give rest by love to Pat as well, Lord. Deliver and keep her as well, Lord. Will stay, Lord. Help us and keep us, Lord. We do everything except on this side, Lord. Stop the war in Ukraine, Lord, and save the Russian conscripts and souls, Lord, and save the Ukrainians as well, Lord. And Lord, may do work in that country, Lord, and save souls mightily and powerfully, and stop the terrible loss of life as well, Lord. And Lord, give us this day, Lord, and keep us well. Love us, remain, O Lord. Provide for us and keep us for Jesus Christ again.
Amen. Thank you, Will. All right. We are in Luke chapter 6. If you'd like to take your Bibles and turn there to Luke chapter 6. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. I'm going to spend a little bit of time this evening on the subject of disasters. Luke chapter 6, beginning at verse number 46. Just reading the last four or five verses of this portion of God's Word. Luke chapter 6, beginning at verse number 46. And the Word of God says, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me, and heareth my sayings, and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house, and digged deep, and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house, and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth, that is my word, and doeth not, is like a man without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was very great." Amen. That is the parable of the house built on the rock and the house built upon the sand. It's mentioned a few times in the Gospels. I want to spend a little bit of time thinking on the subject of disasters. Originally, it was the storms of life, because that's mentioned a few times in the Bible, but disasters cover storms and floods and fires and all of that stuff there. So that's us. Let's have a word of prayer again, and then we'll go on. Heavenly Father, thank you again. Please, I pray, grant our private prayer requests and petitions according to your will, and just be with us now, Lord, as we spend this time around your word. Thank you for everything that we've managed to accomplish about your house. Please bless it, Lord, and please help us as the work progresses. We love you and praise you. Amen. 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 Now, it's a lot of people, they come to church and they expect to hear good news about how everything will be rosy in the garden. And everything is going to turn out for the best because, well, let's be honest, that's a saying that many people say, sure, everything will work out for the best. And that's in the Bible. That part is in the Bible, but there's a little bit of a qualifier that says everything will work out for the best if you're saved and you're doing what God says. And that's not what everybody's doing, yet they cling to half a promise. There's a lot of disasters going on right now. There are a lot of disasters, troubles, storms of life, whatever you want to call them, difficult times, that are prophesied still to come as well. And it's a thing that I know we don't really want to think upon bad things, but the Lord said a number of times in the Bible, "I have told you these things before they come to pass, A, so that you can be ready, and B, so that you will know that I am God." In other words, only God could look that far forward into time, write these things down in a book 2,000 years ago, and these things are happening now, or will happen. God said, "I'm telling you these things so that you can be ready." I have always had an interest in, they call it prepping. I'm sure you might have noticed I'm never that far from a pocket knife or a flashlight, and who knows what else that I might have in a backpack. I know Will has an interest. And in fact, any good parent or any good wife or husband will have maybe not so much of an interest, but will have an interest in being ready for the future. We work, we save money, we build houses, we buy clothes, we keep a first aid kit in preparation for the day that we might need something for a cut knee, or we might need, what does they say, a little nest egg for a rainy day. And the Bible is full of examples on being ready for disasters. In this particular one, people might say, well, the Lord is giving us some architectural advice
on being ready for storms and floods. It says, build your house upon a solid foundation, so that no matter the storm, it can't wash away the foundation. And if the foundation is sure and never moves, well then the house that's built upon it won't move either. On the other hand, if you don't build your house upon a solid foundation, whenever the storms come and the floods rise, they will wash the foundation away and the house will break and fall and everything in it will be lost and destroyed. That's your architectural advice. And that applies, that architectural advice applies equally as well to you as a person. The house, of course, is you, your life. The foundation is God, Jesus Christ. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that no other foundation can any man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. So let every man take care how he buildeth upon or thereupon. So the Lord also refers to himself as a cornerstone. And if anybody is up on old buildings, the foundation was laid first, and that was what you built your house on. But then a cornerstone was put down, a big square cubicle, completely as square or cubicle as you could make it, so that the walls would all be square. And this is a bit of a sore point for Norman and me right now, because the walls aren't square in this old building, at least not at the ends of it. And that does cause problems, but Christ is the foundation you build upon, and Christ is the cornerstone you build from, if that makes sense to you. And he says, if you don't, something will come someday and wash away the foundation that you have put there instead of Jesus Christ. Like, what could you? What do people put down instead of Jesus Christ? It's practical advice. It's practical from a physical point of view. It's practical from a spiritual point of view. It's also practical from a mental point of view. It's just good, ordinary advice. The Bible mentions many things going wrong. Again, I'm not saying this to depress you, and I hope I'm not, but there's a lot of things that have happened in the world very recently that 5 years ago we would never even have thought of happening. Who would have thought that Canada, for instance, one of the freest, in quotes, countries in the world, would become a dictatorship all over something that nobody could see, over a bad flu? Who would have thought that, but it has happened? Who would have thought that there would have been so much reported, overemphasized sickness and death in the world that would cause so much fear in people's lives? And you got to see what people were really like, because suddenly, no matter their money, no matter their geographical location, even the crew that was away out in the Antarctic, they all came down with COVID as well, and not one person, they all had their vaccinations, but not one person went away sick. And yet they ended up with a COVID outbreak. When you put this amount of fear in people's lives, when you take away these things that they really rely on, what's the old saying? You have nothing if you don't have your health. Or if you don't have your health, nothing else matters. And that's true. And people, certain people that walk in the corridors of power, saw fit to make sure that people were constantly in fear of their health and were able to do awful things. But what do people depend upon then? What other storms, what troubles could the Lord possibly be talking about? We're not that far off of some floods. When was the bad floods here? 2 or 3 years back. Whenever the Fahan burst its banks and washed cars away and houses were flooded, I think, in Eglinton, and if not Eglinton, then definitely out by Claudie direction. And they say it's probably one of the worst things that can happen. It doesn't come crashing in, it seeps in and it creeps up and it'll short out your electricity, and it carries mud in, it mixes fresh water, river water and sewage water together, and it just puts a stinking mess wherever it goes, and it just leaves rack and ruin everywhere. And whenever that water starts moving, it carries everything away with it. Destroys homes and gardens, crops, livestock, even cars. Big things, things that people put their faith in. And we've seen it. Even whenever I was much younger, 17 or 18, I worked in my uncle's hotel. And I was there one September or October. And there was a huge storm. There was hardly anybody in the hotel, and anybody that's working will tell you that one of the worst things you can be doing is nothing. It drags a day out. And the sea threw up about a foot and a half or 2 foot of whatever was lying at the bottom of it. There were trolleys, there was seaweed, there was plastic, there was animal carcasses, everything thrown up onto the beach. It was awful. That's what a little bit of a storm can do. And there's, and if that's just what a little storm will do in Northern Ireland, I think we can probably only imagine what some of these tsunamis and things will do for us out in the likes of. Remind me not to take that and blow my nose with it. That wasp was just bugging me there. Does anyone remember the tsunamis that hit Japan and caused all like massive loss of life around Japan? And I think was there even some flooding in Philippines and places like that. But actual storms, they ruin stuff. They break things on us. They bring loss, all sorts of loss to us. They take away people's lives and livelihoods. But there's also emotional storms. When relationships break up, when you're hurt or you're betrayed, you're lied about. And those things can be devastating to the heart and the mind. They can put you into a rut that you can think of nothing else but those things. You can have financial trouble when, again, another blanket, another security blanket disappears and you feel the draft. You feel, sadly, you feel powerless. And I have seen from time to time as people lose their health, their spending increases, because that is one of the few places where they still feel able to exert their power. I've seen physical illness taking away those things we depend upon so much, your freedom, your ability to get up and about and make decisions, your ability to affect your surroundings. We take it so completely for granted that we never actually realize until it's gone. And that's a disaster. I tell you from personal experience, it's a disaster. And when these things are gone, and I'm sure there's other things that people, some people, young people love their cars. Some love their computers, their gadgets. Some love their little brothers or their little sisters or their moms or dads. And all of these things that you can put your hands upon, but all of these things that other people can put their hands upon as well. You have an accident. One that clips your wings for you. Or you can just have, I don't know if you've ever had one of those days where things just continuously do not go your way. It's like you take one step forward and two steps back. All of these things. I suppose maybe even a mistake. Something that you never meant to do, or something that somebody else never meant to do that just brings a bit of trouble your way, or even temptation. You know, in the world, the flesh and the devil tempt you off to do something you really shouldn't be doing that is really going to cost you in the long run, but you don't think about that. And sometimes you may even have to remove ourselves completely from situations like that. Remember the Tower of Siloam that Jesus spoke about to the disciples? He said, do you suppose those people that were killed in the Tower of Siloam were sinners above all other people? He says they weren't. Things happen sometimes. That's why you need to be ready. You can be left. It can come to the point where you can be left without anything that the world can offer. Literally standing up. All that you have is you standing in the clothes that you own and whatever's in your pockets. And I know there are a lot of people in Russia and in the Ukraine. Will was bringing them up in prayer. Running from wars. Maybe not so much running from war than running to war in Russia, but there's a lot of people in the Ukraine are running for their lives. And all that they have is whatever they could grab on the way out of the house. What do you do when disaster strikes? Now, when I mention this, I'm not saying that if you live a good life and you turn up in church and put money on the plate and you sing up the best you can and you read your Bible and say your prayers at night that you will never have difficult times. That would be a lie. You will have difficult times. That's just the long and short of it. We live in a world full of people that are going completely in the opposite direction to us. We're heading up, and the vast majority of people in this world are heading down. We're walking the straight and the narrow road, and most everybody else is on the broad road that leads to destruction, the straight and the narrow road that leads to life. You are going to cross purposes or cross paths with someone going in the opposite direction, or you are going to come across events that have been set in motion by someone going in the other direction, and it's going to give you bother. And even if that doesn't, there is coming a day, the greatest disaster that everyone faces, we will face together when we step off this mortal coil into eternity. When we have to leave everything that we can lay our hands upon or put in our pockets behind us, what do we do? God said all of these things will happen. And the reason I'm telling you this is so that you can be prepared. The end of your life is coming. You could be troubled even as you go out the door. You could have a flat tire. And the next hour that you were hoping to spend with your feet up enjoying your dinner, you're going to be spending on your hands and knees in your Sunday best, changing a wheel that's clattered in muck and dirt and brake dust. And you're going to have to wash everything. Like it's a goodbye to an hour. That's the least of things that could happen to you. Or you could lose a £20 note that you had planned to spend on something. What are you going to do? Or what can we do? Well, first of all, most cars. Well, I was going to say most cars have spare tires. They don't today. They give you a wee can of foam that you can spray into your tire, or half a tire. But cars are generally fairly well prepared for flat tires. Put on the spare. Make sure that you've got your jack and your thingy for taking the spanner, for taking the nuts off the wheels. And if you're thinking even far enough ahead, make sure you've got something to put your knees on whenever you're sitting jacking the car up or undoing all the wheel nuts. Prepare. But what I want to say to you is, preparation does not start at the same time as the disaster. Preparation starts before the disaster. Now, the Word of God talks about in Matthew and Mark and Luke that there will come a time as we go on in the last days of wars and rumors of wars and famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. So what do we do? How do we prepare for that? Well, from a straightforward physical point of view, you might learn how to be a soldier if you're going to be embroiled in a war. You might learn how to handle your equipment, your weapons, to defend yourself or to fight for your country. If there's going to be a famine, every time you go out, you might buy an extra 3 or 4 tins of food or a packet of rice or a packet of pasta and put it in the cupboard. Make sure you've got extra tubes of toothpaste or dental floss. Whatever it is, make sure you have an extra bit of it. If there's going to be a disease, like a pestilence, make sure you look after your health. You buy in antibiotics, you eat good food, you get a good night's rest, you get a bit of exercise. You prepare yourself, your body, you build it up so that it's as able as it possibly can be to face those little invisible invaders. Now the other one might be a bit tricky. It talks about earthquakes in diverse places. How do you prepare against an earthquake? Well, if you live in a fault line, move is all I can say. Or build your house in such a way as it's not affected by an earthquake and it's high off the ground so the floods don't hurt it either. But you prepare. But if your life is going to be over, how do you, in this world, how do you prepare for the next one? Well, the simple answer is that you get saved. The simple answer is that you get down on bended knee and you realize, I pray, that there is more to this life than just right now, and you pray and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you your sins. You have a look, have a read at the Bible. Have a read in Leviticus or Deuteronomy. And have a look at the things that God doesn't like. And make a wee note of how many of them you actually do. Make a note even of how many are legally acceptable and in some countries actually the law. And understand that God's law supersedes every one of man's laws. Man's laws apply to people down here in this world. But God's laws apply to people in the endless ages of eternity. And that if you break them, you're a guilty sinner. And we do. We've taken the Lord's name in vain. We've blasphemed. We've committed adultery with our bodies or in our minds. We've murdered with our hands or in our hearts. We have lied and cheated and stolen. We have worshipped false gods. We've done all of those things, and that's only the Ten Commandments. And we've rebelled against our mothers and fathers, and we've not turned up in church when we should. We've rebelled against that. Just the Ten Commandments. We're falling short in most of them. We're guilty. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 3 that what we are due for the things that we have done is death. The wages of sin is death. And I'm thankful the gospel doesn't just give us the bad news, it gives us the good news is that the gift of God is eternal life through his Son, Christ Jesus. When you understand that you're a sinner, then you can realize that there is a Savior that loves you and gave his life for you, and that all that you need to be saved is to turn your back on your sin, to repent of your sin, and look to Jesus Christ for your salvation. Ask him to save you. That's it. And you are prepared right away for the endless ages of eternity. The single greatest preparation that every person needs to make is just getting saved. Because the end of everybody's life will come someday. There's no such thing as any cryogenic suspension that is going to preserve your body at the point of death so that you will live forever. That doesn't happen. Every single one of your cells has a little counter in them that ages your cell. We have death built into us. Our cells grow and grow, and I think that is it telomeres or something like that? These little counters in each cell, they count down until they can't function anymore. And then by that time, your body is done. And you should seriously, if you haven't done so already, you should have made sure of your salvation. But once you do that, you're ready then to live your life the way God would have you live it. What can I do? Well, God said, I was going to say, you need to have God in your corner. You know, whenever people say that, oh, I've got so-and-so in my corner, means that they're on my side. Put it the other way. We need to make sure we're in God's corner and starting things His way and doing things His way. And regardless of how you and trouble cross paths, eventually you will. The Lord said, without me, you'll lose everything. Even your eternity, your soul, you'll lose it all. But with me, well, let's just read what the Bible says. In Matthew and John, it says in Matthew 10, he that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake and the gospel, it says, will keep it, will find it. John 12 says, he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. And that sounds like something everyone should have. And again, you can have it for free. You can repent and believe. The Lord has done everything. Unfortunately, many people, and even many Christians, believe that their salvation, their eternal salvation, if they've even considered it, lies in the amount of stuff that they have. And that is not the case. That's not the case. The Lord said, just mind that in your life. Take heed and beware of covetousness, because your life does not consist of the abundance of the things which you possess. Just remember this, that anything in this world that you can put in your pocket or in your hands can disappear. And to depend on that for life-changing decisions would be stupid. You'll lose it at some stage. I was just thinking as I was getting ready for church, a lot of people commented over the years about how many pens I have in the front of my Bible. And I have always said that is the only place I have ever been able to keep a pen. That I have, it used to be every year or so I would be buying a mechanical pencil, a Parker mechanical pencil and a Parker stainless steel biro. And then I'd be buying another one the next year because I'd lost it. I set it down somewhere and it was gone. But as long as I put these things in the Bible, it's almost like people think, oh, I like that pen, but it's in the Bible, I'll just leave it. might sound like a very simple modern day parable, but those pens stay close to God and they're safe. If we stay close to God, we'll be safe. Things that we put in our hands, we can lose. But John chapter 10 tells us that whenever he puts us in his hand, he will never lose us, and neither will any man ever be able to pluck us out. See, when everything else is gone, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord God, is still there. Your salvation can't be affected by anything that goes on in this world. Your Savior can't be affected by anything that goes on in this world. Friend that sticketh closer than a brother, the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of which every saved soul has, cannot be affected by anything that goes on in this world. Our Father in heaven, to whom we speak or should be speaking at least once every day, he is not going to be affected by anything that goes on in this world. He can't be stolen. Those angels that he sends to minister to us, those verses of scriptures that we hide in our heart, cannot be affected by things that go on in this world. And those good habits, Christian, that you have cultivated, that you have endeavored, that you have gathered as you have endeavored to please God, they will encourage you. And they cannot be taken away from you by anything that has gone on in this world. Your answered prayers, the prophecies in the Bible, even as the world tries to make them not happen, they happen just like the Word of God says. I know you could probably think of a thing or two that would qualify as a storm in this life. I pulled a few of the ones that came to my mind. I'm sure we could think of others. Think about awful world leaders. Talk about a storm of life. That's like a galactic storm. That's just not a bad rainstorm. That's like a global disaster of a storm. But even these things, you can talk to God about them. You should talk to God about them. God, I'm having a really difficult time with X, Y, and Z. What do you think? And if you stop for a moment and even just keep petitioning about them and take time with him, he'll speak to you. He will guide you and direct you. He will. Should it be in a verse of scripture, or should it be in a decision that you have made solely in the presence of God Almighty, he'll help you. He'll help you. And when you do that, you will come away. I think we were having a discussion about people earlier on. Will mentioned a person running around like a chicken with its head cut off. I don't know if you've ever seen or heard of that before. The chickens just flap and run about and eventually fall over. But whenever your head's at peace, your heart's at peace, you can make balanced, reasonable decisions based upon a thing that never changes. That decision was good today, it was good yesterday, it was good 10 years ago, it was good 50 years ago. Whenever you made it back then, it'll still be good if it's based upon the Bible. A lot of people see the Word of God as a cage that keeps you trapped from the world. I see it as a safety rail that never changes. No matter what's going on, you can put your hand on that safety rail and what? You'll be safe. Whenever you're hurting, whenever you've lost, whenever the world is flying apart all around you, and you're holding on to that safety rail, or should I say, when that safety rail is holding on to you, you'll be safe. So cling to it. Hold to it. Remember reading, I don't know if you've ever seen the picture. I don't know the artist that painted it, but it was a picture of a bird on the arm of a tree coming out the side of this huge roaring waterfall. And this mother bird sitting on her nest. Famous picture. The background to that picture is that a bunch of artists got together, and each one of them was charged with or took the challenge of painting a picture that depicted peace. And some of them did these beautiful meadows and mountainsides and sunsets and all of these things that we would attribute peace to. And this one artist painted this raging waterfall. I don't know if you've ever been to a waterfall, but they make a lot of noise. I was at Niagara Falls, and even standing water about a mile away, it still made a huge amount of noise. And it keeps throwing tons of boulders would go over that waterfall every day. Millions upon millions of gallons. Not very peaceful at all. But in the midst of that waterfall, the artist had this bird sitting on a nest with a branch sticking out from the waterfall, and it was completely at peace regardless of what was going on around about us. And that is what God promises you. You can be busy. Yes, you can be frantic. As long as you are doing what you know needs to be done, you can be at peace in your heart whenever you're doing things God's way. You have a God, great God, that's more than equal to any disaster. Especially if you read about the ones that he has said are going to be coming this way. And the knowledge that you are loved, provisioned and protected, and kept by the creator of the universe, Norman was reading about it this morning, is something that most folks in this world, even Christians, are not aware of and steadfastly refuse to take upon themselves. Why would you not want to have your head at peace? As you know, we live in Northern Ireland, and it's quite shocking in March to have so much good weather. We're enjoying it. We're not saying anything bad about it. But in Northern Ireland, most folks have at least one raincoat. Not right, because It always rains. Even in the middle of the summer, it rains. So if you knew it was going to rain, when would it be a good time to go and buy a raincoat? Is it, have you ever seen some of the rain here? It comes down so hard that in like 3 or 4 seconds in it, you can be absolutely soaked. Is it a good time to go and buy a raincoat whenever it's raining like stair rods coming down? Or is it a good time to go and buy a raincoat whenever you see the clouds rolling in? Or is it a good idea just to have a raincoat on hand? Whichever way you work it, the best time to have your raincoat is before it starts to rain. The best time to have your soul saved, the only time to have your soul saved, is before you meet your Savior, before you step off into eternity. Because afterwards, it's too late. The best time to prepare for anything is before it happens. And I want to leave that with you on so many levels this morning. Just be ready as you can. Be as ready as you can to meet troubles and with your soul, with your life. The best start you'll find is in the Word of God and on your hands and knees. I want to thank you for your good time, and God bless you this morning. Amen. Let's sing a song. Does anybody have a favourite they'd like for us to sing this morning?
Should we ask Lynn since it's Mother's Day?
Give us a Mother's Day song. Lynn. You don't actually have to sing it, but give us one. Give us one that you want to sing. If you have one. I remembered it was Mother's Day earlier on, and I remembered, I think normally there's a wee bit more fuss about they are going forward, but it only twigged on yesterday, I think, for me as well, that this was the last full weekend in March and that they are having to go forward. But once I get into a groove, I tend to forget all those things.
29.
And they certainly. Number 29, which one's that, Link? There we go. Hymn number 29, let's stand as we sing, Precious Lord, Take My Hand. Dismiss the meeting for us with a wee word, please.
Dear my Father, thank you, Jesus, Lord. So short and harsh, use it in our minds and our bodies and our souls, Lord, to come and start a new week, Lord. Bless the listeners to this this message, Lord, for the CD, Lord, bless them also, and keep them safe and well. For the sick in our church, remember Esther, remember Stephen, Pat, Lord, and anybody else is sick as well, Lord, whether we know it or not, Lord. Remember Stephen, Colin, and John, save their souls, Lord, remember them all, keep them safe and well. With Christine and Taylor, Lord, bless them and keep them safe, Lord, and Master John, a closer walk with you as well, Lord. Bring us as we go to homes in safety, Lord. And help us before Sunday, yeah, Lord, before our week, week as we start a new week, Lord, and guide us and protect us and keep us safe as well. We do everything to bless that great and holy name, Lord, instead of standing in this world, Lord. Bring us and keep us, for Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are dismissed. God bless you.
Well, okay.
Hands and fellowship.
Switched off.